So in the rest of the Buddha's life, he was absorbing that experience first of all and then communicating it. I want to say a little bit about the Buddha's vision and our vision. So I've talked about a number of elements of the Buddha's vision, which I think emerged even before he became enlightened. The first thing I want to say when we talk about our vision, an element of caution, because we can think my vision, that can very easily be, you know, how I envisage my life, the story I've told myself about my life, who I really am deeply. Now, that's important. But we're talking about the Buddha's vision. Let's think about that image of vision. It's seeing something, seeing what's there. So the Buddha's vision claims, at least, to be a vision of the truth. And that's something to reflect on when we think about, well, what's my vision for my life? It's not just what I want, not even just what feels right, but what is deeply true, whether I want it to be true or not. The Buddha is also saying that in order to see the truth, you need to train yourself. One needs to take account of one's prejudices and assumptions and biases. You really take account of those things and gradually, gently learn to let go of them so that one can see the truth with one's mind and also one's heart. Because a compassionate attitude towards other people is the one that will enable us to see what they're really like. Compassionate attitude towards oneself is the one that will enable us to see the truth of one's own life, the forces within oneself. And seeing the truth means somehow taking on board this core element of the Buddha's vision, that we create our own reality. We're doing it all the time, and we can guide it. And that's a skill. You know, there's a skill of learning to see reality more clearly, more truthfully. How do I do that? How do you and I create our own reality? And how can we change the way that we do that? And finally, in all of that, there's a possibility that if we can understand ourselves, there's a possibility of liberation there. That's not straightforward. None of this is straightforward. Now, the Buddha gains enlightenment, according to the texts, and then he reflects and he hesitates. He says, "The Dharma I have attained is deep, hard to see, hard to realize, peaceful, refined, beyond the scope of conjecture, subtle, to be experienced by the wise. And it's hard for us to grasp it. This to that generation delights in attachment," says the Buddha, "enjoys attachment, finds it hard to see this truth." He thinks, if I were to teach the Dharma, and others would not understand me, and that would be tiresome for me and troublesome for me. And I think there's an echo of that in the trouble that you and I have in trying to grasp the Buddha's vision in our own lives. And actually, later on, the stories we have about the Buddha bear this out. There's much misunderstanding of what he's trying to say. There's much resistance, you know, people actually opposing his message. He creates this community, which is quite incredible in terms of its time, but there are all sorts of problems within it, all sorts of communal problems, interpersonal problems, political problems, problems with kings, problems with problems. Problems! And there's even a story, which I think we need to give some credence to, that at the end of the Buddha's life, his entire race, his entire people, were wiped out by the king of Kosala. A very gruesome story that the Shakyans were massacred. So our paths too are unlikely to be easy, because we're being asked to see through our own illusions, to enter our own forests and face our own demons, see the patterns of our own mind and learn to work with them, to explore unknown dimensions of consciousness, to summon up persistence, patience, to do all of this. And yet, there's something very compassionate in the Buddha's vision as well. His final response to this thought, well, maybe I won't teach, it's going to be too much bother, is a vision. This is another way of talking about the Buddha's vision. "So out of compassion for beings," he says, "I surveyed the world with a vision of one awakened, as where there is a clump of blue lotuses, red lotuses or white lotuses. Some of them do not rise out of the water, but thrive while still immersed in it. Some remain level with the surface of the water, and some rise out of the water and remain untouched. So we have this vision of lotuses at different stages of unfoldment. In other words, he sees that people aren't fixed. And he's inviting us, I think, in this image. This image is inviting us to see our own life as imbued with the potential of a plant, perhaps in the form of a bud that's under the water, but with the capacity to grow, to unfold, to blossom into something much more. And that, it seems to me, is the heart of the Buddha's vision, that because we aren't fixed, we can change, and our lives can be like, can feel like the process of a lotus going from a bud into flower.